San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you from KFMB Studios with 50,000 watts of power, heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. If you download the app for 760 KFMB, you can hear us on your smartphone or other device. All these podcasts are heard commercial-free on iymoney.com, and we stream live on 760kfmb.com. And now it's time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's a best-selling author. He's an accomplished marathon runner and a family office expert advising several high net worth families. His name is Richard Muzio. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, Joe. It's good to be here.
Better than the Padres. I think
I told you your Padres weren't a little real.
Houston. Basically, it is earlier in the week, but Houston has cleaned up on them the first couple of games there, and we'll see how it shakes out.
Told you they can't field.
Did you see Will Myers give them a home run last night? Bounced off his glove over the wall last night.
I told you they can't field.
Can you give a guy an error instead of a home run on something like that?
You can, yeah.
And wouldn't that be something? The guy gets a home run. I mean, it scores 2 points, but obviously on an error, you wouldn't
remember
get a
when Canseco had one bounce off his head and went over the wall for a home run?
Was that a home run or an error?
That was a home run.
But it could be an error, right?
You could not expect Jose Canseco to actually field.
I'm surprised he didn't bounce into the upper deck off of his head. But anyway, let's see. Anything else to report?
No, we got two guests tonight, so we got to get rolling.
Okay.
We got somebody really special on the line.
All right.
But speaking of interesting CPAs.
Yes, sir.
Following Ron Baker, and he's interesting. And Dan Morse, you're there, correct?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. You've got the most interesting mission I've ever seen from a CPA, and you also have the most interesting URL. Your URL is cpadudes.com, and your mission is to be the ultimate dragon slayer. How on earth did you ever get into public accountancy?
Well, I started out as pre-med, but that was organic chemistry was too hard, so okay. I thought I'd be an accountant.
Okay. But I've never seen another firm with a mission statement.
There was a recession going on in the 1980s when I was going to school, and by God, the accountants got hired. So it was much easier to take a major that was going to get a job than it was to play all the liberal arts games, even though I'm a liberal arts major. But in essence, because I could get a job. And then I liked it. So never really left.
Yeah, I know. When I got into accountancy, I took one of those aptitude tests in high school, and it said I was good with numbers and horrible with people. So it said you could either be an accountant or a priest. <I'm> like, okay.
Yeah, I never knew that, Richard.
Yeah, I never mentioned that on the show before.
Heal thyself.
I'm not even going to touch that one. I think I'll just leave that one alone.
But we had your business partner and our good friend Ron Baker on for the first half of the show, and I know you are also a founder of Verisage Institute, which for me as a CPA is one of the more interesting, maybe the most interesting think tank I've ever seen in the profession. Can you tell us, though, briefly before you get to the Verisage story, just sort of your background in the CPA world and where you went and how you came to your present iteration?
Sure. I grew up in Oregon. My father was a CPA. He started Touche Ross in 1958. He went into asphalt paving. So I've always been around businesses. My grandparents ran a rural grocery store, and at 10 years old, I was taught how to balance a cash register and service customers. So I've always been in business. I got hired by Arthur Young, now Ernst & Young, out of San Jose. To be honest with you, that was an experience that was short-lived. Not my right cup of tea. I don't play politics well enough, but I learned a lot, and I became a damn good accountant because I went into private industry for a while and basically became kind of a mini controller of about 8,000 apartment units and 2 or 3 million. Square feet of commercial space, where I learned how to be a general ledger accountant. And Tax Reform Act of 1986 came along, changed the world, and I knew a whole lot about real estate and construction accounting and was hired back into public accounting. And one of the neat things about a career in public accounting is you can move in and out of it over time. And I've been back in the profession solidly since the fall of 1987.
Okay.
I moved my way up mostly in an audit world and a tax world, and then started my own firm in 1994 and have specialized in entrepreneurial services, high-tech environments, and in the most recent 10 years, international tax structuring and export tax incentives, mostly around people who are trying to navigate the world. I've got a fairly good reputation for being fast and creative when quickness and creativity really helps, especially in complex IRS audits and related issues, the way I think. So how I've gotten to where I was today was I did really good work. I got lucky. I walked through a few doors. I met some great people. And I've always enjoyed the ride that I've been on.
So in other words, your career wasn't really typical of most CPAs who wind up with a pure tax practice or a financial statement practice. And, of course, you're situated in the Silicon Valley, too, so you're running in, I guess, to clients who do have international needs and startups and all of that fun stuff.
Yes. I mean, it wasn't traditional. I mean, a lot of what I do is certainly traditional, but one of the things that I set out to do was to effectively reinvent myself on a regular basis every 3 to 4 or 5 years to come up with something new. Because otherwise we have what I would refer to as menticide, right? Mm-hmm. That's killing of our brain.
Mm-hmm.
If what we do is a pattern of the same thing every year, then over time we get bored and we're not engaged, we're not thinking about it, and we're not growing as human beings and as people. And I think that one of the things that keeps people young and the ability to live and thrive until their bodies don't let them do that anymore is they keep changing their environment enough. So I built a practice, and I was very fortunate, by the way, to do that. I built a practice and surrounded myself with people who would help me do this and allow myself to reinvent myself every few years to come up with my new next best thing.
Hmm.
And that, you know, InvestSage was part of that, and Exemplar is a new part of that. And the constant has been, I'm curious. I want to learn new things. I want to hang out with people smarter than me. I want to hang out with people who are changing the world for the better. So I've sought out those opportunities.
And how does VeriSage do that for CPAs and other professional advisors?
You know, VeriSage is a unique animal. It is the first and only of its kind of a group thinking space that promulgates improvements to the profession and is willing to challenge all of the sacred cows and the status quo. It's intellectually challenging because everybody who's a fellow or a member of VeriSage, you know, are all at the top of the charts relative to intellectual curiosity. We're willing to test our theories in the practice. I mean, to a large degree, a lot of the things that have come out of VeriSage, and for your listeners, if Ron didn't talk about it, I mean, VeriSage's mission is to bury the billable hour in the professions. We don't want people pricing for efforts. We think here on Earth results really matter. We believe in the subjective theory of value. So it isn't how hard you do something. It's really what the customer deems that value to be. And what our customer buys isn't time. It's never time. Our customers never buy time. They buy a result to a problem or an expectation. So
speaking of time, we have to take a little break. And I apologize for this pause. But we'll come right back with Dan Moore, CPA and co-founder of VeriSage Institute, right after this. Hang on. All right, we're back in the home stretch with Daniel Morris, CPA, co-founder of VeriSage Institute, and his mission is to be the ultimate dragon slayer. And I'd like to know, Richard, what dragons are we talking about, and why slay them?
Well, let me ask Dan the question this way. Dan, this is a two-part question, and I think this might answer the question. What are the major challenges in the CPA profession today, and what are the real opportunities for the future of the profession?
Well, I think the opportunities for the future of the profession are grand. We're a people business. And as we move from a manufacturing through the service economies into a knowledge economy, CPAs should be well positioned to help new companies monetize. That's that fancy word for making money.
Mm-hmm.
How do we profit from their ideas, right? And how do we convert these esoteric concepts into something that's a reportable economic event. I mean, we will continue to have reporting to governments relative to taxes and revenues. Banks and creditors and shareholders and investors are going to want to know whether or not there was really any profit made. And I think CPAs are going to be well positioned to help lead that conversion from those service economy concepts to the knowledge economy concepts. And that also means that our CPAs themselves are going to have to go through a slight metamorphosis of their own. They're going to have to convert from, you know, maybe being the proverbial caterpillar who has a very low world view to the butterfly that can see holistically greater distances and more of a forest connection view than the moss on the tree. We've got to leave the concept of bookkeeping and scribes behind and really jettison ourselves into a 21st century general practitioner as it relates to the health and well-being of our customers, whether they're a business or a governmental unit or a nonprofit or an individual.
Mm-hmm. But when you say slaying dragons, what are we, for the layperson listening, what dragons are we talking about?
You know, I think that when I say that I'm the chief dragon slayer, it says that whatever your challenge is as a customer, I'm slaying that dragon.
Okay.
In other words, you can come to me with a pile of a big mess, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to help you cure that mess, whatever that mess is. And either I'll do it directly or I'll have somebody in my network do it. But we all need dragon slayers around us because we sometimes find ourselves encircled by dragons,
mm-hmm.
Who are firing down on us for whatever reason. So we need a dragon slayer. It's of all the titles I've ever seen, I thought that one made the most sense. Because
I
love it. Just a CPA. We're not just a financial advisor. We're not just a stockbroker. We're not just a doctor. We're not just our profession. We are our profession and more. And those of us who can do more are the ability to slay more dragons.
So do you put UDS after CPA on your business card? But seriously, you mentioned the word leader or leadership. The CPA profession, I want you to comment on this if you'd be so kind. There's a significant population or percentage of the CPA population that's 55 and older. Also, we're having a challenge with younger people coming into the profession, or to the extent they come in, they don't stay because in many cases they wind up with firms that are very old-fashioned. But besides, obviously, great resources like VeriSage Institute, where is leadership in our profession coming from or going to be coming from?
Wow. And I say that wow with a heavy sigh. I think a couple things. I think, first of all, I think our true leadership in the future is going to come from outside our profession, and I don't think it's going to be developed inside our profession.
Mm-hmm.
Insiders have a tendency to want to keep things in the status quo, whether that's the professional associations like the Cal CPA Society or the AICPA. They don't really want boat rockers. They don't want people who are innovative. The iPod would have never been invented by the CPA profession because we already had, you know, phonographs and vinyl, right?
Yeah, well, the joke is, why did the auditor cross the road? It's because last year's work paper said the auditor crossed the road.
That's exactly right. If you think about it, you know, Phil Knight, who's a CPA, and he changed the world by pouring, you know, some form of rubberized resin into a waffle iron and making a shoe out of it.
Right. Founder of
when
Nike.
When we already had very nice running shoes in the mm-hmm. day. So part of that, I think, innovation will come from the outside. Young people are certainly continuing to come into our profession. We are a profession that has great opportunities. The challenge is that once they become licensed, they do have more freedom to pursue other interests, which is normal. I think the demographics of our profession have changed a lot, and the expectations. You don't get to in the 1980s. Most of the senior directors in CPA firms were probably more akin to being ogres.
Mm-hmm.
And today you can't be an ogre. You really can't. Nobody will put up with it. So there's a changed expectation as well in the young. I think a lot of young voices are thinking that the cloud is going to be the ultimate panacea for change. I don't see that at all. I think the cloud is just part of where we store data and where we can move transactions. But I think that young people are continuing to come into our profession. I think reaching out into mature aged workers, people who are mid-career changes. They've done 15 or 20 years in sales or engineering or some other career, and they want to move more into business. I think that's a great resource for changing leadership in our profession. Hmm. We can invite people in our profession in their late 30s, 40s, 50s, even 60s. They have the ability to pass the exam, the ability to learn, because we're a people business, and we can teach the technical skills. So I think there's a great depth of talent out there if we just look beyond the mere college graduate.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I think the opportunities are huge for a young person coming into the profession, particularly if they meet a CPA or a mentor who knows how to do what I call the right way as opposed to the old-fashioned way. You know, if you're working with somebody who doesn't do timesheets, who's into total and complete customer service, you know, sort of serving as the concierge of the hub of all of the important things that their very best clients need, as opposed to just cranking out financials and tax returns.
Yeah.
If they can hook up with, you know, somebody who's doing it the right way, I think it's a tremendous opportunity.
We should give his website, though, Richard, because we're in like...
let's do that.
VERASAGE.com. Are there some resources on there, Dan, for aspiring professionals and to help them out?
Right, there is. The VeraSage website's a big master blog, to be honest. It's got lots of voices and different perspectives. A lot of resources. There are four what I'd call cliff note versions of some of our theories as it relates to pricing, customer service selection, loyalty, and how to provide total quality services. You'll look it up under books. There are some free books from the ACCA that are allowed. Ron has written, I guess, six books now, maybe seven.
Seven.
Six or seven books. And we have everything there is free, available, and an opportunity for people to communicate across the country with our fellows and our senior fellows. We have practicing fellows that are people who are actually living the walk and the talk. We bridge not only CPAs, we deal with advertisers and law firms and other consultancies, because it's about providing total quality service in a value-based pricing model to anybody that sells intangibles to businesses or consumers.
Richard, could we say it's more, it's like family office except for on the business side? Can you make that
analogy?
Yeah,
there's similar attributes. Also, you've got a really cool website, cpadudes.com. So
wonderful.
You can also check out Dan's website.
Well, we'd like to thank you, Dan, for being our guest tonight.
Dan, really appreciate it. I'm going to see you guys down here for Continuing Education Week in San Diego in July.
There we go. So CPA is...
Looking forward to it.
There we go. Verisage.com is their website. Thanks to Alex Sonkin for stopping in and asking some questions also. And thanks, good seeing you, Richard. Thank you to Justin Hart, our soundboard engineer, for making us sound
and thanks to the guy
good.
Who fixed the phone problem that none of our listeners knew about.
And to Craig Blanke, your account executive. And we'd like to thank Dave Sniff, our programming genius here at KFMB. All these podcasts can be heard commercial-free on iymoney.com, and we're free on iTunes. You have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time. Good night now.